Well, the Kundalini Research Foundation was established in 1975 by Gene Kiefer and Gopi Krishna. And the purpose of this is to do the research and to get it out so that other people can say, oh, this is real. You know, this is real, and it's real because science says it's real. And that makes all the difference in the world, because the Kundalini experience is the trigger of evolution. When you have this experience, it starts rewiring your entire body, and it gets you where it wants you to be, as opposed to where you want to be.
Hello, my name is Clay Boykin, and I am in search of the new compassionate male. I believe in the midst of these incredible times of change, a new compassionate male is emerging as the new archetype. And this podcast is intended to give voice to both men and women on the overarching topic of compassion consciousness in men. Last night, I had the opportunity to visit with Chuck Robison. Chuck is the executive director of the Kundalini Research Foundation. In our conversation, Chuck shares about the organization and the two men who founded it, Gene Kiefer and Gopi Krishna. Here's that conversation.
Gopi Krishna was born in 1904 and died in 1984. He was 80 years old when he died. He failed to get it past the entrance exams into college after his high school education in India. So he had to console himself with saying, okay, I'm just going to have a civil service job for the rest of my life. And when he said that, he also said, I'm going to spend a lot of my time trying to meditate and find out where that takes me. And so he started that. And not so long after that, he went through just an incredible period of physical pain, physical everything. And it went on for 17 years. And finally, somebody came and told him, this is what's behind this. One of your Kundalini streams is hot, and the other one's cold, and the hot one is too hot, and it needs to be cooled off. That's basically it. But the what happened was that when Gopi Krishna got through that, he was given an amazing gift for a guy that only had a high school education. Mm-hmm. And this is not uncommon with Kundalini.
Well, now, let me ask you, during the 17 years, did he know about Kundalini?
I believe he did, but he said during that time in his autobiography, he said, listen, I went to every person I could know who was supposed to know about these things. And not one person could tell me unequivocally that I was having a Kundalini experience. Okay. And it says from that, I gathered that maybe they didn't know as much as they thought they did. Because he was the one that was having the Kundalini experience. But the gift he got from this was that almost overnight, he was able to read and write in 9 different languages. And he oversaw the publication of his books in that way.
But Gene Kiefer, I don't know that name.
Well, you don't. He's been pretty quiet. But he had an advertising agency that he created in New York, and it was called Global Concepts. But his life after 1969, when he first met Gopi Krishna, the rest of his life was about Gopi Krishna. And he became Gopi Krishna's editor and confidant and publicist and publisher and everything else. He was Gopi Krishna's guy in the world of marketing and distribution of his books. So I was invited to this meeting at Gene Kiefer's house, office on Fifth Avenue. And I went not knowing who was going to be there or even why I was going to be there. But I went because it just seemed the right thing to do. I walk in the room and they saved the seat for me. So to my left was Sam Nielsen, the executive director of the International Federation of Institutes of Advanced Study in Sweden. And that was a man that was in a position to know practically everything that was going on around the world in advanced institutes of advanced study. So sitting across the table from next to him was Klaus Nobel of the Nobel family. And he was with Sam Nielsen. And then the next person down was Gene Kiefer himself, who it was his office that we were in. Mm-hmm. And the next person was Leanne Sorkin, who I had invited me to this because she'd gone to work for Gene. And then next to her was Jim King, who was the founder of the Club of Rome. And then next to him was Akio Matsumura, who was the Japan operative that was doing the studies for population growth at the United Nations. So it was an unusual group of people for me to be in, because you don't get a chance to be in a room with people like that all the time. I think Klaus put together the meeting to see if we couldn't get some discussion going with these very different people. So the place where this gets to me, and real fast, is that Gopi Krishna was invited to address the United Nations by the Hopi Indian chiefs and other Indian chiefs, all of whom referred to him as the red man from the East. And so they were invited him to the United Nations, and all, along the way, the United says, well, we're not going to have any. The United States says, we're not going to have anybody like this talking about America's anything. So this was the third time that this had happened to the Hopi elders. They had petitioned the United Nations in 1947, 1964, and again now in 1983. They had tried to see if they could get into the United Nations and speak. And at the in 83, the United States still said, no, we're not going to do that. So the Hopi said, well, we're going to do it because our ancestors and our prophecy demands to be told. So they entered, rented the main lobby of the main building. And they put, and it was a stand-up affair from like 7 to 8, 9 o'clock. And Gopi Krishna got up and gave a speech. The Indians gave a speech. Two or three other people gave a speech.
Now, this was at the United Nations.
At the United Nations in the lobby of the main building.
Okay.
And this is 1983, in October of 1983. But what happened was there were 1,500 people there. And they stood for 3 hours listening to this stuff. It was just, it was brilliant. And I kept thinking, how in the hell did I ever get in here? Well, Gene invited me. So the next thing that happens is, after this meeting at the United Nations that night, I said, boy, Gene, I'd really like to get his picture. I was a photographer, the portrait photographer at the time. And he said, well, go over to my apartment on 36th Street tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Have the doorman let you know, buzz up to my apartment and tell Gopi Krishna that you're here, which I did. And I went up to his floor. This man opens the door. There was nobody else in that apartment but him. And we walk in and we sat down and I get my lights up and my camera up and the rest of it. And we started taking pictures. And I have an ability to talk to people when I'm taking their picture. That is, I'm pretty good at that. So we talked for quite a bit. Finally, I got 6 rolls of film and I started getting the cameras unloaded and the lights unloaded and the rest of it. And when I was sort of stopped, I looked over and I said, well, Gopi Krishna, what do I need to do to be enlightened? And he looked me right straight in the eye and he said, just this, every day, as often as you can, think about God, and God will do everything else. And I realized that that's the same thing as Jesus said, you know, keep the seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. But when you hear it from a man who's an enlightened being, it takes a little bit different tone to it. So I went home where my studio was, and I went in my dark room for 3 days and printed these pictures because I wanted to get him to sign some of them before he went back to India. And the process was almost automatic. I got great pictures. It was easy to do. So I sort of had some time on my hands in the dark room. And I began to thinking, what would it mean to think about God as often as you can. And it suddenly dawned on me, I can do that. That's not about books or formulas or language. That I can do that. And so I made up my mind right there. This is November 20, 1983. I made up my mind. This would become my meditation, my everything. And it didn't seem a radical idea to me. It was the right thing to do. But over time, until today, this has just played out in so many amazing ways that I can't even conceive of what the gift was that I was given. I was given a profound gift, and it was up to me to figure out what it was. But I got there, and I can tell you without question that as a meditative practice, just thinking about God at every point you can think about him is about as powerful for me as it can get. And that's when the work with Gopi Krishna started. I didn't meet him again. Never saw him again. He died 8 months later at age 80. But there I was. And there he'd given that to me. And I'm thinking, I thought, well, of course, that's what he says to everybody. And then I realized, no, that was for me. That was just for me. So it's not that I can tell anybody that what it is. But maybe if somebody hears about what I'm saying, they'll understand that the clues are right in front of each of us. And all we have to do is figure out which ones are the clues. Mm-hmm. But that happened to me. And so that's one of the main things I'd like to tell anybody about this. That here was somehow or another a providence saw to it that I got to be in a room with that man for an hour. That means a lot to me. And it was a formative experience. And I'm not sitting here as somebody that was just hanging out in New York driving photos and cameras. I've got a master's degree in theology from Princeton. It's not as though I was a newcomer to this kind of thought. But everything before that was just, it didn't seem to have power to me. And then, boom, all of a sudden, I had the power. So that makes sense, and that makes sense to me.
It does. It does. It's stunning. So where does things stand with the Kundalini Research Foundation right now?
Well, the Kundalini Research Foundation was established in 1975 by Gene Kiefer and Gopi Krishna. And the idea was that it would be a good way for them to market his books, which there were. And they didn't think too much about research, except they knew it was important. So Gene came to me in a year and a half ago and said, I want you to be the head of this foundation. And the purpose of this is to do the research and to get it out so that other people can say, oh, this is real. You know, this is real, and it's real because science says it's real. And that makes all the difference in the world. But there's one thing I want to share with you on this. I think all of us are searching for a primary spiritual connection to the universe. And we've been told so many times that that's not even possible. You know, you don't have the degree, you don't have the this. That's all nonsense. We all have this. We all have access to this. And all you have to do is ask. And what I've discovered from my own experience, and we'll get to that another time, but I have a couple of angels that hang around with me all the time. And if I get into trouble or if I get in a place where I can't solve the problem, I ask them and they answer. And I don't think I'm the only person in the world that happens that way. But I'm the most grateful person of all because I'm not stumped anymore by big problems. I can ask for help. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. Is there anything that we've not talked about tonight that that comes to mind that's important not to miss?
Well, we're in the process of creating the Kundalini Research Foundation in the 2021 version. It was founded in 1975. And if we can get this done, and it will take at least 3 years to get it all done, I'm going to write a book about what we do called Trigger of Evolution, because the Kundalini experience is the trigger of evolution. When you have this experience, it starts rewiring your entire body, and it gets you where it wants you to be, as opposed to where you want to be. But once I'm able to show this to people, the reality of what it is, then I think that'll be a really nice achievement. And then I can find somebody to take over the foundation and, you know, rest in peace. But I'm not going to stop until I get that done.
Wow. Chuck Robison, you are a fascinating person. I love you to death.
Thank you, Clay.
If you or someone you know has something to share about men and compassion, write me directly at clay@clayboykin.com or visit the website newcompassionatemail.com. Thank you.